Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. It's another YouTube Fireside Chat with the one, the only, Craig Mason. But first, let's do some Theater Folk news. Theater Folk is going to have an information table at the Virginia Theater Association Festival this weekend, Friday, October 23rd, and Saturday, October 24th, in Reston, Virginia. Catalogs, free resource information, and we'll be handing out our play tasting CD-ROM, which has sample pages from every one of our plays on it. That's right, every single one of our plays at your fingertips. How exciting! And what's even more exciting is that there's going to be a guest at the T-Folk table. Playwright Bradley Walton, who hails from the area, is going to be at the booth on Saturday the 24th with samples from his plays. The absolutely insidious and utterly terrifying truth about cat hair! And two new ones. The Baloney, the Pickle, the Zombie, and Other Things I Hide from My Mother, and Storied. Drop by, say hi. Lastly, where or where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us also on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word Theater Folk. Welcome to our YouTube Fireside Chat, where Craig and I snuggle up to the microphone and talk about musical numbers that you can find on YouTube. And today, we're very excited about today. Today we are looking at Choreo for Guys. From a school perspective, it's usually harder to get guys to dance, and our three videos today are really great examples of character dancing. It's not about ballet or the box step. It's about, really, all you have to do is move in character. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, and these are three really great examples of men dancing and
And looking really manly.
and being masculine and being true to their characters. There's nothing worse than when you come to a dance number and all of a sudden everyone's running around moving like dancers rather than their characters.
We said this, I think we said this the last time we did this. There was a Newsies, which is new on Broadway, and they showed that clip from the Tonys, and all of a sudden, you know, everyone looked like they had been to 12 years of dance training.
Yeah, I mean, I find that stuff really I know we're getting off on a tangent here so early in podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
But I find that so bothersome. You're right. When everyone all of a sudden is like an amazing dancer, some characters can be slow. Some characters can be confused. Some characters can be more dominant. But in a product like in shows like that, when all of a sudden everyone is this amazing, perfect dancer, it just doesn't work for me because it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it takes me out of the world, and I think that's what some people think is that everything has to be perfect, and it's like not really. It all has to be character driven.
Not if I'm in the audience.
That's exactly right, and of course you're in the audience for every show, time. Okay. Yes, we'd never get any work done.
Let's move on.
So our first clip is from How to Succeed in Business Without. Oh my goodness, Craig, is it without really trying or without trying? How do we succeed
without really trying or without even trying? I think it's
la 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 la.
The Brotherhood of Man. Without really trying.
Okay, how to succeed in business.
You want to restart
without
that, or you want to just have this terrible flaw in the middle of our podcast?
You know what? Let's have a terrible flaw.
Okay.
We're flawed. See, even here at Theater Folk Global Headquarters, we are not perfect. Just like the dancing. So how to succeed in business without really trying. And this is the most recent remount with Daniel Radcliffe in the title role. And I think it's the first thing to point out is that Daniel Radcliffe is neither a singer nor a dancer.
No. I mean, he sings fine. Decently and he moves decently, but I think he works quite well in this.
I know. And what I find really great about this is first of all, there's two things going on. There is a story going on in that the Daniel Radcliffe character is trying to evoke a brotherhood of man. That's the scene we're looking at.
Yeah, I don't know the show too well, but I mean, the story I get is that he's trying to convince the big boss not to fire John Larroquette by basically saying, hey, you know, we're all bros. It's like the man code here. You know, we look out for each other.
So he's trying to evoke a feeling, and that by evoking that feeling, it takes a while for everyone to be on board. They're kind of reluctant at first.
There is brotherhood of man, a benevolent brotherhood of man, a noble tie that binds all human hearts and minds into one brotherhood of man.
Well, what I like is that the choreography is, especially at the beginning, is a lot like puppetry. It looks like Daniel Radcliffe's character is manipulating the movements of the other characters. It looks like he's controlling what they do. And that was really clearly what the intention was.
Mm-hmm. There's some other really smart things in it too, in that the choreographer really focused on levels and shapes. This choreographer is not afraid to throw these dancers down on the floor. There's lots of rolling. There's lots of leaping. They kind of jump all over each other. Really, it's not pretty movements. It's the basics of movements. Jumping, leaping, crawling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you hear about you should use all of the stage, all of the levels, you'll see they're up high, they're down low, they're everywhere on the stage, and it works quite well. What also works well is that the dancers at the beginning are a little bit reluctant to join in, and they're not quite, it's kind of like what we talked about with Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat. They're confused and reluctant at the beginning, and then he convinces them by the end. And that story was told quite well through the choreography here.
And then by the end, there's the joy of being in this brotherhood of man just bursts out of the dancing.
Yeah, and it's always manly, always masculine.
Yeah, although the other thing that I really enjoy in the choreography is the use of some traditional dances as done kind of clumsily by men. And the greatest example of that is there's a Swan Lake dance line.
Right.
But done by guys in suits, and clearly meant to be done not that well by guys in suits. And I just, I love that. So what we've got here is we've got some really good storytelling. There is a change in the dancing from beginning to end as we go from reluctance to all in out joy, and just the use of the basics of shapes and of levels. I think that just you know, you can walk in character, you can and make it a dance.
It's a good example, a good first example,
which leads really nicely into the second example, which is Catch Me If You Can. Now, Catch Me If You Can is not a good musical. I think it came and went.
Yeah,
and the bit that we're going to talk about. First of all, it stars an amazing character actor by the name of Norbert Leo Butz, and who is he's one of our top guys. Like, you know, when you go and you'll see anything he's in, because you know he's going to be good.
Yeah.
And he's going to be good because he's going to be in character. And this is a great moment in that really the song tells us nothing, the music tells us nothing, the movement tells us everything.
But they're self-deceiving fools, cause the game ain't worth winning if you're breaking all the rules.
Don't break the rules,
or else we're living.
Yeah, I love the physicality of this of this number. The characters all have strong physicalities, and the choreo just incorporates the natural ways that they move into the choreography. Like I said before, there's nothing worse than getting to the music number and all of a sudden everyone's different than what they are during the non-music.
Well, when he starts out, he walks with stiff legs. He's got this really funny bent over from the top. It's like he's trying to deal with, you know, being a little bit creaky. And it's an amazing character thing. I think too that guy dancing is all in the knees. It all seems if you can get like, you know, that bent knee thing going.
Yeah, that bouncy thing.
That bouncy knee, it just sort of, just a little bit of a squat, like that Russian, what's that Russian dance where they just all go down.
I know, the whirling dervish thing?
The Cossacks dancing.
Yes, and also if I can find this, I'll try and post the. I've seen the movie. The opening credits of the movie are these slick little graphics, and the choreography incorporates a lot of that kind of those shapes and those movements. So I'll try and link to that too because I just love how they translated those shapes to the choreography, and two on the physicality. By the end, they're not moving their legs. They're throwing their legs.
There's a lot of flinging going on. I think at one point there's this lovely little moment where the character is trying to do these karate moves and Norbert Leo Butz is an actor at the he's in his prime. He can do anything, right? He's not, when he does a kick and it only lands halfway, that's not because he can't do it. It's because it's a character choice. And there's this lovely little moment where he just does some karate moves and they don't quite land properly. And I just love that choice as the other male dancers are just sort of kicking and flinging their legs around and in that same simulation.
Yeah. And he's an FBI agent. Yeah. So that he dances like you would assume an FBI agent
exactly.
would dance.
Exactly. And that's what he's doing. He's not perfect. It's about moving in character. Can you get the theme? We have the theme here.
Don't smile like you're a hero. You're in a but the odds are in my favor, man.
And yes, and when you watch this clip, just ignore the girls who come in at the end, who have no business being there, and weren't in the show, and they're just there. You know what? They're just there to have girls on stage, which I find awful. Like, there's no reason for them to be there.
No, I think that the one thing that number's really missing is storytelling. He's basically that one sentence, the game ain't worth living if you don't break all the rules, or if you break all, whatever the lyric is. That's all that happens in the song. There's no journey. There's no story told in the song. But nonetheless,
no.
We learn a lot about the character.
In the movement.
Yes.
Yes. Which is what we're talking about.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay.
Moving on.
So the third one, I think this might be one of our favorite clips of all time.
It's my favorite Tony clip of all time.
So it's from a musical called Grand Hotel, and it features Michael Jeter. And the other, there's another actor in there, and his name is, look at that, Craig, I wrote it down so poorly. Brent Battler? Oh boy. Failing, we are failing. As Craig looks it up, Brent
Barrett.
Barrett. And it's very important to note that Michael Jeter has no dance training, and this piece was not in the original play.
No, it was put together for him by the director. I think the director was Tommy Toon.
Yep, Tommy Toon. And it is a theatrical masterpiece in a lot of ways. From the fact that it takes place in a bar and the bar is just two guys dressed as footmen holding literally a bar. And the glasses are mimed. It is a masterpiece in that it takes a classic dance like the Charleston, and yet it is completely character driven. We know what kind of character Michael Jeter is by the way he attacks the dance.
We'll take a glass together in celebration of our meeting.
Yes. Yes, a nerdy character, right?
Sure, and nerdy and also very joyful. Like, I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone dance with such joy.
Can I just say, I've as many times as I've seen this clip, I never noticed the very, very beginning. Go back and look at the very, very, very beginning. Just watch Michael Jeter running on the stage. He looks so darn excited. I mean, he looks so excited to be there and so excited to do this number.
It's just it's a really wonderful thing. And it shows about how to use your tools, right? The reason this piece is in this musical is because Michael Jeter is very flexible, and who cares if he doesn't do the dance precisely? The other actor beside him has obviously got some training, and he does it he does the movements very precisely. But Michael Jeter is so much more interesting to watch, and he's interesting to look at, and that's what the theatrical experience, I think, is all about.
Yeah, and the storytelling too. There's a story being told throughout this number, and it's basically that these two guys are sitting at a bar getting drunk, and clearly Michael Jeter's character is getting a little drunker than the other guy.
Well, and that's being affected in how the dance happens and how it gets a little wilder, and the Charleston uses up a little more space as Jeter sort of flings his body from left to right. And I think what this shows is, again, just how you can use your tools that you have at your disposal to make a dance, and it's not necessarily training.
I'll drink to you.
No, I to you.
Then vice versa.
Then vice versa.
I'm sure it's true.
Oh, I know it's true.
Things may be bad, but could be worse.
Absolutely.
I love the way the bar is used. It's and if you watch at the beginning, they're basically using it to keep their drinks on, and then by the end, Michael Jeter needs it to stay standing up straight. And it goes from a bar. Think about this crazy notion.
All right.
It's not. It's the pole. It represents the bar, but it also becomes a bar. BARRE. The ballet bar. It's a dance tool.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it disappears as there's nothing left to encumber him as they do the kick line.
Yeah. And the other really cool thing to watch is that you watch Michael Jeter's legs, and they're insane and crazy, and they spin in ways that you can't imagine your joints spinning. But it's also really helped by the dancers that are in the background. Like, Michael Jeter's wearing black, and the people in the background are wearing brighter colors. And the movement of their legs really enhances the movement of the legs of the characters in front. It's kind of an optical illusion.
Oh, it's almost like it's planned that way.
Almost like it was planned that way.
Okay, so this has been very joyful. These are three very joyful pieces to watch. And not that dance, you know, should make you gee golly was happy, but it should bring you into an experience, and it should take you somewhere. There's nothing that is more draining than a dance number in the middle of a show that stops the show as opposed to takes you further. In a musical, the dance and the song are as important as the words, and there's no point to them if they don't move a character forward, if they don't move the story forward. And obviously we're looking at these pieces in isolation, but just as a, you know, choreo for guys is not an impossibility. It's not something that is, oh, I can't do that.
These are three great pieces for inspiration if you're looking at choreographing guys who aren't dancers, because there's plenty of characters in these three pieces that aren't dancers, or the characters certainly aren't meant to be dancers.
And how can you have guys who are simply walking across the stage, how can you turn that into a character movement? How can you turn levels, crawling, you know, jumping? How can you make sure that there's something character-driven and infuse that into their movement and make it a dance? Look at that. We ended up that very nicely.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Thanks, perfect. Greg. Perfect. Oh. Except for the parts where we messed up.
Except for the many parts where we messed up. Oh, but we're not talking about that.
Okay.